Good morning, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Friday, February 14, 2020. Happy Valentine's Day. We're reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. My name is Peggy and my partner at the microphone is Doug, and we're glad to have you listening. We'll start with a look at today's weather and headlines from the front page. First, blaze ravages trailer home. And next, Myers bills address rural health care and daycare. Well, today's weather forecast, you can expect sunny skies with wind chills as low as minus 25 degrees, with a high of 21 degrees and a low of 17. And now here's Doug with our first article.
Good morning, everyone. This first article is about Bill Shea, about a trailer house that was on fire. A Fort Dodge man suffered burns and smoke inhalation when a fire gutted a trailer home Thursday morning. He was treated at United Point Health Trinity Regional Medical Center and was released. He was not identified by firefighters. A second person who was in a home at 1338 3rd Avenue Northwest, Lot 73, escaped unharmed, but a cat died in the fire. The blaze sent flames shooting out of the north side of the trailer. Some siding on the trailer to the north was melted. A section of 3rd Avenue Northwest was closed to traffic while firefighters worked at the scene. The fire was reported at 9 a.m. Fire Chief Steve Hergenreder said the blaze started while the man was trying to thaw out frozen pipes. Some combustible material near the pipes ignited, he said. Wind fanned the flames, that he added. The wind was pushing it right into and through the trailer, he said. When firefighters arrived, flames were coming out of the north side of the trailer. There is a heavy fire damage throughout the structure, according to Hergenreder. Two hose lines were used to extinguish the fire. Six off-duty firefighters were called in to help. The fire left a gaping hole in the north wall of the trailer, which is located at the south end of the Palace Park mobile home community. The American Red Cross was called to help the residents with temporary housing. Firefighters and police were on the scene until 11:30 a.m.
And next, Myers bills address rural health care, daycare, by Chad Thompson. The University of Iowa would be required to accept a higher percentage of Iowa residents for its medical and dental school programs under a bill proposed by State Representative Ann Meyer, Republican, Fort Dodge. The bill, HF 2151, would require at least 75% of all medical and dental school admissions at the University of Iowa to be either residents of Iowa or students who completed their undergraduate coursework at an Iowa college. We brought this bill forward to address the lack of health care providers in Iowa, specifically doctors and dentists, Meyer said. The University of Iowa is a taxpayer-funded university. Myers said citizens of Iowa should benefit from having doctors graduate from there. We just feel that Iowa residents should have priority to being accepted and they're getting good candidates, Myers said. Our taxpayers should have the benefit of those doctors remaining in Iowa. The University of Iowa previously reported that between 68% and 70% of its medical and dental admissions are students either from Iowa or students who completed their undergraduate coursework at an Iowa college. This shouldn't be a big lift for them then, Meyer said. The bill would also require the University of Iowa to provide a report of their medical and dental school graduates, where they are doing their residency, Meyer said, and where they end up and if they are considered in-state or out-of-state. The bill passed through the House subcommittee and committee. Next, it will go to the floor for debate. Meyer has also introduced legislation to increase child care rates for providers that accept child care assistance. That is only for child care providers that are providing care to child care assistance kids, Myers said. If a family is receiving child care assistance through the state program, the state does not pay for the entire cost of that. And some of the providers right now are only being reimbursed at 35% of what their cost is. Myers' legislation would bring that reimbursement cost up to at least 50%. That incrementally increases based on their QRS level, Myers said. The rates will be increased based on the quality of the program. She added, no one is going into business to lose money, and child care is a business. According to Meyer, between fiscal year 2018 and fiscal year 2019, there was a reduction of 18 child care centers, 140 child development homes, and 99 unregistered homes accepting CCA in the state. We want to at least maintain CCA providers and ideally increase numbers, Meyer said. Myers described child care as a workforce issue. She said, our unemployment is so low, we need as many people to participate in the workforce as possible. The bills, HF 2067 and HF 2068, passed committee with 100% support and are eligible for floor debate.
Now to the Messenger poll. Are you concerned that Iowa might lose its first-in-a-nation status in the presidential nominating process? You can answer yes or no at messengernews.net. And this date in history, today is Friday, February 14th, the 45th day of 2020. There are 321 days left in the year, and this is Valentine's Day. Today's highlight. On February 14, 2018, a gunman identified as a former student opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School near Fort Lauderdale, Florida, killing 17 people in the nation's deadliest school shooting since the attack in Newton, Connecticut, more than 5 years before that. On this date, in 1859, Oregon was admitted to the Union as the 33rd state. And 10 years ago, death claimed best-selling British author Dick Francis at age 89, and Doug Frieger, leader of the power pop band The Knack. He died at age 57. 5 years ago, actor Louis Jordan, 93, died in Beverly Hills, California. Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Philip Levine, 87, died in Fresno, California. And 1 year ago, William Barr was sworn in for his second stint as the nation's Attorney General. He succeeded Jeff Sessions, who'd been pushed out of office by President Donald Trump after Trump denounced Sessions' decision to recuse himself from the Russian investigation. And the thought for today is, we are effectively destroying ourselves by violence masquerading as love. That's by R.D. Lang, Scottish psychiatrist. He lived from 1927 to 1989.
And next is the community calendar. Kossuth County Historical Museum, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Kossuth County Historical Museum in Algona. Blandon Memorial Art Museum, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 920 3rd Avenue South. Admission is free. Rockwall City Rotary Club, noon, Community Center, 424 Main Street. A.A. Alano Club, noon and 8 p.m., 12 North 7th Street. Nickel Bingo, 1 p.m., Multi-Purpose Senior Center, Emmitsburg. Fort Dodge Duplicate Bridge Club, 1:30 p.m., open game at Citizen Central. Narcotics Anonymous, 6 p.m. at the L&O Club, 12 North 7th Street. The Blandon Memorial Art Museum, 920 3rd Avenue South, will be closed on Tuesday in observance of President's Day. Normal museum hours will resume on Wednesday. And an announcement from Tom Thumb. Tom Thumb Weekly Special, Smoked Pork Loin. Dinner is $7.64. Sandwich is $2.54. That's Monday, February 10 through Sunday, February 16 at 1412 A Street West.
And to the editorial page, Fort Dodge Youth Shine in Patriot's Pen and Voice of Democracy Contest. More students should get involved in VFW program. A handful of Fort Dodge youth recently expressed their thoughts on what makes America great and won recognition from veterans of foreign wars post-1856 for doing so. In the Patriot's Pen competition for those in 6th through 8th grades, Abby Cook, 14, took first place. Other winners in that competition were Levi Oder Westrum and Emily Chichester. Jocelyn Timmerman won first place in the Voice of Democracy competition for high school students. Mackenzie Camden was runner-up in that competition. Timmerman and Cook now advance to the district competition. Winners at the district level move on to the state contest. Winners from all 50 states then compete for the national prize, which is $5,000. There's also an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. for the national winner. We wish Cook and Timmerman the best of luck as they advance in their respective competitions. We'd love to see both of them end up as national winners. We also salute Oder, Westrum, Chichester, and Camden for their efforts. All of the local youth who entered this competition realize that they live in a great country and they're able to explain just what makes it great. That's something a lot of adults would struggle to do. The Patriot's Pen and Voice of Democracy competitions fuel the patriotism and enhance the communication skills of young people who participate. We'd like to see even more students participate in them. Both competitions are annual events. We urge young people to give it a shot and ask adults to give the kids in their lives a little encouragement to enter the competitions.
Okay, the paper's a little bit skimpy, so we are going to read articles from the Associated Press, beginning with, Bernie Sanders is not doing so hot. Bernie Sanders was supposed to run away with the New Hampshire primary. This is his kind of state where Democrats are mostly educated liberals. Yet the national celebrity from next door, Vermont, bested Pete Buttigieg, recently an unknown from Indiana, by less than 4,000 votes. It appears they are both walking off with 9 delegates. And that was after Buttigieg had split the moderate vote with Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, who came in a strong third. This was a second week showing for Sanders. In the Iowa caucuses, a contest custom made for an arch-liberal with an activist base, he tied with Buttigieg. Ask Sanders' ardent supporters how a socialist with wildly unpopular positions, for example, extending government health care to illegal immigrants, can win a general election. And they say this, there's an enormous pool of non-voters who will turn out just for Bernie. But all those hidden voters never seem to show up. The recent Iowa caucuses attracted about the same number of Democrats as in 2016, but 64,000 fewer than in the record year of 2008 when Barack Obama was the electrifying candidate. New Hampshire participation was higher than it was 4 years ago, but interestingly, fewer young voters showed up this time. President Donald Trump obviously dreams of having an opponent like Sanders. Trump told reporters that he'd rather run against Mike Bloomberg than Sanders, which of course means the opposite. As in 2016, Trump and his trolls are working with Bernie. They went full blowtorch against Joe Biden when he was seen as the strongest Democrat but didn't lay a glove on Bernie. On the contrary, they continued to nurse Sanders' grievances against the Democratic Party. Should Sanders be nominated, Trump will joyfully unleash his war machine on the lefty from Vermont. Sanders has a lot of weird political and personal baggage to rifle through. Disturbing Trump's sleep, however, is Bloomberg. The former New York mayor has yet to participate in a debate or run in a caucus or primary. But polls have him rising wildly among Democrats. And in matchups against Trump, Bloomberg does better than anyone else. In New Hampshire, the two left-wing candidates, Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, together amassed only 35% of the vote, and the moderates, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and Biden, won 53%. This was hardly a rousing thumbs up for a Sanders candidacy. Clearly, the Democratic majority will have to unite behind a moderate. My hopes for Biden have dimmed through the lights, though the lights still flicker. Buttigieg and Klobuchar are both splendid candidates, and I wish them the best in Nevada and South Carolina. But they may have to eventually make way for a Bloomberg firepower. Bloomberg's massive spending has undoubtedly worked to improve his numbers, but a billionaire's deep pockets can't do it alone. Ask Tom Steyer. Bloomberg is a unique candidate. He has a huge fortune, but also a massive record in public service, including more experience in a tough executive office than anyone else running for president. He's pitch perfect on most issues, especially climate change and gun control. As for wide appeal, he was elected three times in one of America's most liberal and racially diverse cities. And Bloomberg is totally unafraid of Donald Trump. His business success, calm demeanor, and sensible stances would attract many independents and some Republicans. And yes, his money will help. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. The first two contests of the 2020 election show Sanders as prince of the far left in a party whose moderates are king. What's remarkable about Sanders' performance so far is how unremarkable it has been.
Let me read this one, too.
All right.
The an article by David Pitt. The Iowa Senate passes abortion constitutional amendment bill. It's out of Des Moines. The Iowa Senate Republican lawmakers on Thursday approved a resolution that would amend the Iowa Constitution to declare there is no right to an abortion in the state. The measure passed the Senate 32-18 along party lines with only Republican votes. It says in part, "We the people of the state of Iowa declare that this Constitution shall not be construed to recognize, grant, or secure the right to abortion or to require the public funding of abortion. But it must pass in the House and then pass in the legislature again in 2021 or 2022 before it would go to a statewide vote. If it survives the votes, eventually approve it, the amendment would make state court challenges to abortion restrictions much more difficult in Iowa. The measure is a response to an Iowa Supreme Court ruling in 2018 that struck down the legislature's 72-hour waiting period for an abortion. In that ruling, the court more broadly declared that the state constitution guarantees women in freedom to make their own health decisions, including whether to terminate a pregnancy. The ruling infuriated some conservative lawmakers and brought accusations that the court was usurping the power of the legislature to create laws. I'm not seeing one of you put forth a constitutional amendment to provide a right to an abortion. Rather, you're going to rely on judicial activists to create new constitutional rights," said Republican Senator Jake Chapman. "We have an opportunity to right a wrong. The court, we can allow them to use the power of the gavel to create new constitutional rights, or we can say when it comes to this issue, the power will reside with the people. Democratic Senate leader Janet Peterson criticized Republicans for pushing an abortion bill rather than working to improve conditions in Iowa, where obstetrics departments are closing in rural hospitals. I don't like to be mansplain about what human rights are. This constitutional amendment is written with the sole purpose of banning access to safe abortion care in Iowa, she said. Women are getting tired of you making your political statements with our uteruses. It's time to quit punching women and girls in the uteruses with your policies and pretending it's for our own good. A bill with similar language moved through the House committee on Wednesday, but a public hearing was requested. So House Speaker Pat Grassley said the hearing must be held before it can be proceed to full House consideration. House rules require a 5-day notice of a hearing before it can be held. No date has yet been set. Grassley also suggested the possibility that House language may change, which means the two chambers would have to reach agreement on language before it's passed in a final version. Grassley said Republicans in the GOP-controlled House have made it clear they oppose abortion, but the bill is much about the court striking down legislative action. This is about separating the powers and the decisions that were made by the courts and the legislature taking that power back. So this is really a broader conversation than what it's being focused on with that specific question, Grassley said. He said the action is to ensure that abortion measures the state has passed are upheld. The courts have struck down Iowa law that would have made abortion illegal at the detection of a heartbeat as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy and a 72-hour waiting period. A law passed last year denying federal funds administered by the state for sex education programs conducted by an organization that performs abortions is being challenged in court now. A bill that prohibits abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy remains law in the state. Also on Thursday, House subcommittees moved forward on two separate abortion-related bills. One requires specific information to be relayed to a woman seeking a medication abortion, a so-called informed consent measure. The other bill makes it a crime to fail to properly handle fetal remains and requires filing of a death certificate when a pregnancy ends at 12 weeks or later.
Okay, next, Iowa School District settles in fatal 2017 school bus fire. A Western Iowa school district has agreed to pay an undisclosed amount in a settlement to the family of a 16-year-old girl who died in a 2017 school bus fire that also killed the 74-year-old bus driver. The Daily Nonpareil reported Thursday that Riverside Community School District reached the settlement with the family of Megan Clint, who died when the bus became stuck in a ditch, leading to a fire in the engine compartment that spread to the passenger compartment. The fire also killed driver Donnie Hendricks. Clint's family sued for negligence and wrongful death in 2018, saying the school district knew Hendricks was in poor health and still allowed him to drive the bus. The settlement announcement came less than three weeks before trial in that lawsuit was scheduled to start March 3rd in Pottawatomie County District Court. An attorney for the school district, Brad Schroeder, declined to reveal the amount of the settlement, saying the details were confidential.
Okay. Whatever. A little brief article. Man gets 15 years for fatal crash while fleeing police. This takes place in Davenport, Iowa. A 19-year-old driver was sentenced Thursday to 15 years in prison for a fatal collision that occurred while he was fleeing police in Davenport. Scott County District Court records say Angela Okora had pleaded guilty to vehicular homicide by reckless driving and two other crimes. Prosecutors dropped another charge in return. The case began June 13th when a police officer tried to stop Okora's car and a chase ensued. Investigators said Okora's car reached speeds of up to 90 miles an hour and ran through several red lights before broadsiding a car, killing 48-year-old Lori Ann Letts.
Next, authorities say Sioux City Fire has claimed third victim. A third person has died from injuries suffered in a Sioux City house fire, authorities said. Sioux City Fire Rescue said in a news release Wednesday that 26-year-old Juan Galarza died at a hospital. He was injured in the February 6 blaze that killed Andrew Godberson, 57, and Jessica Fisher, 24, both of Sioux City. Firefighters found residents of the main floor outside when they arrived, authorities said. The firefighters found Godberson, Fisher, and Galarza in the basement and rushed them to a hospital. The fire cause remains under investigation. Sioux City Fire Marshal Mark Aesop has said investigators were unable to recover any working smoke alarms in the house. It was registered as a rental and last inspected in 2019.
And a former teacher pleads guilty to fraud in union theft case. Takes place in Waterloo. A former Waterloo teacher accused of stealing money from the teachers union has pleaded guilty. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reported that Anthony Deal entered the plea on Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids. The charge, wire fraud. It carries a maximum prison sentence of 20 years. His sentencing date has not yet been set. Prosecutors said Dill took more than $54,000 from the union's accounts over about 5 years when he was the union's treasurer. Dill made unauthorized wire transfers and cash withdrawals from the accounts, debit card purchases, and made out checks to cash. He spent some of it on gambling, authorities said. But Deal retired from Waterloo Community Schools last year after more than 30 years in the profession.
Wow. Next, man suspected in two Iowa slayings surrenders in Illinois. A man suspected of killing two women at his Waterloo home in northeast Iowa has been arrested in Illinois, police said. Matthew Buford III surrendered to police in Peoria, Illinois, late Wednesday night, authorities said. He was being held on warrants listing two counts of first-degree murder. Court records don't list the name of an attorney who could comment for him. The 36-year-old Buford is accused of killing Tarnika Allison, 42, and Andrea Anderson, 41. Allison lived in the home with Buford, police said, and Anderson was visiting. Officers and medics who were called to the home around 11:20 p.m. found the two bodies.
Another one.
Okay.
Here's a little article. Trump says he might keep others from listening in on calls. President Donald Trump said Thursday that he might end the long-running practice of letting other administrative officials listen in on presidential calls with foreign leaders. That's after Trump's impeachment was triggered by his July phone call with the president of Ukraine. I may end the practice entirely, Trump told Gerardo Rivera in a radio interview that aired on Thursday. Records experts said that was a bad idea for multiple reasons. Trump also offered new insights into his feelings about being impeached, saying it made him think about the dark days when Richard Nixon resigned over the Watergate scandal before his own likely impeachment. Well, it's a terrible thing, and you know, I think of Nixon more than anybody else, and what that dark period was in our country and the whole thing with the tapes and the horror show, Trump said. It was dark and went on for a long time, and I watched it. He said he often passes portraits of past presidents that hang in the White House.
And this is from Beijing, China. China reported a surge in deaths and infections from a new virus Thursday after changing the way the count is tallied, further clouding an epidemic that has stirred fear as it spread to more than two dozen countries. The spike came after 2 days in which the number of new cases dropped and brought little clarity for those desperate to understand the trajectory of the outbreak. What we need is some consistency over time to give us an idea of what's actually happening, said Dr. William Schaffner, an infectious disease expert at Vanderbilt University in the United States. Is transmission happening or is it not? The answer has proved frustratingly elusive despite the official reports. The death toll in China from the disease known as COVID, that's COVID-19, reached 1,367, up 254 from a day earlier, and the number of confirmed cases jumped to 59,804, up from 15,152. You're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the blind and print disabled. The messenger can be heard daily at 8 o'clock a.m. and 3 o'clock p.m. If you have any questions or comments about our program, you can give us a call at 515-243-6833. And now we turn to today's obituaries.
First obituary is Richard Dick Lamberty, Lake City. Richard Dick Lamberty, 86, died Wednesday, February 12, 2020, at Stewart Memorial Community Hospital in Lake City. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday, February 18, 2020, at the Lake City Union Church. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday at Lampy Funeral Home in Lake City. Burial will be held at a later date. And Ellen Eloise Shepherd. Ellen Eloise Shepherd, 98, of Fort Dodge, died February 13, 2020, in her home at Friendship Haven. Arrangements have been entrusted to Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. And Eldon Jeep Leroy Kirk. Eldon Jeep Leroy Kirk, born December 7th, 1934, and died on February 6th, 2020. Jeep passed away in his home in Alton, Missouri. Jeep lived in Rockwell City all his life till he moved to Alton, Missouri in September. He was married to Ferry Eva Woodward from December 16, 1960 to July 5, 2016, when she passed away. He was survived by his four daughters, Donna and Steve Diekman, Kathleen and Mike Daisy, Lynette Kirk, and Mary Arts. He had 10 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and three great-great-grandkids. Jeep was also the father figure to Billy Joe Rule Henry. Jeep had a passion for fishing, camping, and bingo. And now to the go and do. Bye-bye. In Fort Dodge, Soldier Creek Winery, 1584 Paragon Avenue, is holding Vineyard Vibrations from 6 to 8 p.m. today. Entertainment will be Valentine Vine. Let's see. The entertainment will be Valentine Vinyl with DJ Arden Scott. Food will be available for purchase. And the Blanda Memorial Art Museum is holding youth art classes, abstract pressed landscape, on Saturday. Class for 6 to 10-year-olds is 10 a.m. to noon, and class for 11 to 16-year-olds is 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. There is a limit of 12 students in each session. Cost is $10 for members and $15 for non-members. And in Fort Dodge, Aglo International of Fort Dodge and surrounding area will meet at 10 a.m. on Saturday at the Fort Dodge Public Library. Elaine Johnson will present a program entitled Beginning a New Year with Your Cup Overflowing. Refreshments will be provided and admission is free. And the women of Epworth United Methodist Church is serving a baked potato bar at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday at the church. The menu is a baked potato and an array of different toppings along with a beverage for a free will offering. Carryouts will be available and the church is handicapped accessible. Proceeds will be used for a church ministry. And the Holy Trinity Catholic Parish presents Do You Believe in Miracles? With Tim Francis from 3 to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday in St. Edmund Auditorium. Francis will share his quest for truth, Eucharistic miracles, a woman with stigmatis, and more. And Manson Meridian Singers to present Sing On at 7:15 p.m. on Saturday in Manson. The doors open at 6:45 p.m. on Saturday and 2 p.m. Sunday in the Kate Tobin Auditorium at Manson Northwest Webster High School in Manson. Tickets are $10 for adults and $7 for students. Tickets will be available at the door. And Fort Dodge Area Symphony presents Symphonic Cinema. The Fort Dodge Area Symphony presents Symphonic Cinema at 3 p.m. Sunday at Fort Dodge Middle School. That's at 800 North 32nd Street. Adult tickets are $10 with students admitted free. Tickets are available at Ryman Music or at the door. And Sister Saturday in downtown Fort Dodge is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday in downtown Fort Dodge businesses. And the Day Drinkers to perform at River Hops Brewing on Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. at River Hops Brewing, 1014 Central Avenue. And in the area to go and do in Webster City, the Kendall Young Library, Webster City, will present the movie Happy Feet 2 from 10:30 a.m. to noon on Saturday at the library. In Emmitsburg, Bethany Lutheran Church in Emmitsburg is sponsoring a Kiwanis pancake breakfast from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Sunday at the VFW Emmitsburg. The Kiwanis will serve all-you-can-eat pancakes served with omelets and sausages for a free will donation. Proceeds will benefit Bethany Lutheran Church youth activities and Chicago mission trip. And my partner had to leave, so I'm shuffling the papers. We're on the sports page now. Article by Dana Becker. One final step remains for area wrestlers. Blake McAllister battled through sectionals and districts to reach the state wrestling tournament a year ago as a freshman. Now South Central Calhoun's sixth-ranked 160-pounder is using all that experience to his advantage in hopes of securing another spot in the Class 1A field. McAllister and three of his Titan teammates will take part Saturday in a district meet at Mapleton hosted by MVAOCOU. Joining McAllister will be sophomore Kevin King, junior Jordan Komen Vong, and senior Brian King. All four won sectional titles last weekend in Mobile. Coming out of sectionals definitely feels good, said McAllister, who is 42-3 overall this year. And having three other buddies with me is just like icing on the cake. Kevin King is 41-4 and competes at 113 pounds. Komen Vong is 32-3 and ranked 7th at 138, and Brian King is 40-8 at 220. The three also advanced to district last season. Last year, McAllister qualified for state alongside his brother Chase, a current member of the Iowa State University track team. Blake McAllister finished his season with a record of 35-11, including a pair of matches at state. After being to this point last season, I'm going into this weekend viewing it just like any other meet, McAllister said. This is just another step along the way. I have my ultimate goal this season to reach that. I have to stay focused and do my thing this weekend. Brian King went over the 100-win mark this year and enters districts with 128 victories. Komen Vong is 92-19 in his career, with Kevin King sitting at 77-15. The rest of the 1A area qualifiers will compete in Cedar Rapids as Clarion Goldfield Dowds sends 8, Manson Northwest Webster brings 7, and Eagle Grove enters 5. Pocahontas area has 4, East Sac County has 3, West Bend Mallard is 3, and North Union has 2, along also have qualifiers. The 2A Emmitsburg was 8, and Humboldt 7, Webster City 5, Algona and Greene County 4, and Southeast Valley 2 travel to Algona for a district meet. Continues. A handful of returning state place winners will seek another bid, including Webster City's Cameron Playxone. The unbeaten 106-pounder placed 5th last year. Clarion Goldfield Dow's Remington Hansen finished 7th. Eagle Grove's Gabe Rolon was 7th, and teammate Joel Mendoza was 5th, and Emmitsburg Mason Griffin earned 6th place honors. Looking for another sports article, the Gales bow out to Storm Lake St. Mary's. St. Edmund sees season end in opening round of regionals at 56-29. The end came here for St. Edmund girls in the opening round of Class 1A regionals as Storm Lake St. Mary's picked up a 56-29 victory. Danica Demers scored a game-high 24 points to lead the Panthers, who are 11-10 overall, who now face Lamar's Galen in Lamar's on Tuesday night. Galen down George Little Rock last night at 58-38. For the Gales, who is 0-21, Cambry McBride scored 10 points in her final game. They were guarding Cambry pretty tight, said St. Edmund coach Steve Neuberger. She made some adjustments in the second half and was aggressive getting into the basket. She went to the line about 8 times and she hit some shots in the second half. She just comes out and competes. St. Edmunds, a member of the Twin Lakes Conference, scored the first 5 points of the game and led 12-1 after the first. The advantage grew to 25-7 at the break, as the Gales were held without a field goal during that time. We had a hard time putting the ball in a hole in the first half, Neuberger said. We defended well for the most part, but at the end of the quarters, they hit some buckets, that extended the lead. In the third, we played better and cut the lead to 12 or 14, but they would hit a big shot to keep pushing it up. And continues. St. Edmund finally got going in the third, scoring 12 points, but they still trailed by 21. Deemers had 19 headed into the fourth. This marked the final time in uniform for the Gale seniors McBride, Evan, Emma Neverman, and Josie Timmerman. Timmerman missed the entire season with a knee injury. We talked after the game how it's tough every year when a season comes to an end, Newberger said. Cambry, Emma, and Josie were great teammates for the 3 years that I coached them. They have a good attitude in practice, and they are the type of girls that the younger kids can look up to as far as doing the right thing. The region features MMCRU, who is 20-0 and ranked 6th, and Kingsley Pearson, who is 18-4 and ranked 9th. The regional championship is scheduled for February 26th in Lamar's for a spot at the state tournament. Some brief articles. The Gale 8th graders conclude the season. St. Edmund 8th grade girls finished up their season with a win over Eagle Grove 17-14. Grace Newberger scored 14 points and Myra Neverman added 3. In the second game, the Gales fell 7-5. Kaylee Henning had 4 and Sylvia Heldorfer 1. And North Central Iowa Baseball Clinic. The 2020 North Central Iowa Baseball Clinic will be at St. Edmund Arena in Fort Dodge on Saturday, February 29th. The camp is offered to the boys in grades 1 through 4, 9 a.m. till noon, and grades 5 through 8, 1 to 4 p.m. Cost is $50 per participant for pre-registration through February 15th, and $55 the day of the camp. Each pre-registered camper will be guaranteed a clinic shirt, baseball cards, and bubble gum. Defensive and hitting stations will be offered. Area coaches will be in attendance and helping student athletes improve their skills and fundamentals. Participants need a glove, tennis shoes, and a bat, along with a bat and sweatpants or baseball pants. For questions or more information, please contact Blake Uckley at 554-3400. And Iowa Central Winter Soccer Youth Camps. Iowa Central Community College will be hosting a number of winter soccer youth camps throughout February and March. Dates are each Sunday from February 9th through March 8th, and the cost is $25 per session. Age groups are ages 5 through 8 from 1 to 2:15 p.m. and ages 9 through 15 from 2 o'clock to 3:15 p.m. All sessions will be at Iowa Central REC building. For more information or to sign up, please contact Jared Beauchamp at 404-915-6138 or by email beauchamp@iowacentral.edu or Pablo Rodriguez 862-755-6885 or by email rodriguez-p@iowacentral.edu. That about sums up our messenger paper for the day. There's no news of record. So looks like we're gonna go to our extended weather report. Which looks kind of nice for the next week. Today is sunny, high up to 21 and low down to 17. Tomorrow on Saturday is partly sunny, high around 26 and low around 19. Sunday is partly sunny, high around 37 and low down to 27. Monday, looks like there's a chance of snow, which the high will be 39 and low down to 16. Tuesday, another partly sunny day, high around 24 and low down to 4. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high around 20 and low down to 5. And Thursday will be a sunny day, high around 31 and low down to 22. And so that brings us to the end of today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger. We thank the folks at Friendship Haven for giving Iris a home in Fort Dodge for so many years. And we thank you for listening with Iris, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. We're wishing you all a dream to bless and a star to guide. And have a good Friday, everyone.